The GAA program is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Club Championships.
GAA, good Falcher, good GAA, and Clare, coming Luke Tass, Gael, and a shock in the show with me, Tom Cormack, as usual, with you on a Wednesday night. But we have a program with a difference tonight because, well, we have a bumper Ulster final program, and we're here with you until 9 o'clock, and I'm delighted to see him joined in studio. By former Donegal All-Ireland winner Charlie Mulgrew, of course, former Donegal player and indeed a Fermanagh manager as well, possibly arguably the most successful Fermanagh manager ever. First of all, Charlie, a very good night to you. Yeah,
thanks, Tom.
Yes, Charlie's here to obviously look ahead to that Ulster final meeting of Donegal and Fermanagh, which is on Sunday. Maybe something of a surprise pairing in the final, certainly from a Fermanagh point of view, but certainly they're there on merit, defeated Armagh and Monaghan pretty convincingly in their route to the final. Donegal, on the other hand, have played three games against Cavan, Derry and Down last time out, all big victories. So looking forward to that final on Sunday. And of course, Tyrone or Derry under 20s are also in the final. They take on Armagh in that. We'll talk to Michael McMullen of the Derry Post in a while. But Charlie, first of all, I suppose in terms of Ulster finals, what's your own experience? You had a long career with Donegal. What's your experience? I don't think it was that good one, really. You know, misfortune one probably.
Well, most Ulster finals that we won, I actually was probably injured and didn't get playing in them. And so the couple that we played in that I played in, and anyway, we lost. So not a great experience with them, but. I was fortunate enough. I actually got to captain Donegal in an Ulster final in 1919. I think we got beaten by 1991. We got beaten by Down and that. But it's a mixed bag. But most of the time, if you look back, and it's all
83, 90, and 92 were the ones you won. You were injured for those, were you?
Yeah. I had broken jaw in 83 and dislocated shoulder in 90, and then in 92 I was had a calf strain, so ruled me out for the Ulster final as well.
Yeah, but it was good to be part of those teams as well.
Ah, it was great to be part. You know, you build up some great friendships, and they still maintain to this day. And we still, like last year, we had the 25 years, and we met on numerous occasions. And you'd think that the years hadn't passed at all. That the fun was still the same, and same boys were taking the brunt of the jibes, and same guys were giving them as well.
And Declan Bonner would be one of those.
Declan would be very quiet. You would never never get a word out of Declan.
Anyway, we'll talk more about that, obviously. We'll talk about your term in Fermanagh as well, because obviously that was a very successful part-time in your career as well. And of course, you won an Ulster Under-21 and All-Ireland Under-21 as well, didn't you?
Yeah, Ulster Under-21 and All-Ireland Under-21, yeah, in 1982.
Yeah.
Long, long time ago. But
time is passing. Of course, Donegal have enjoyed success already at Ulster level. Donegal ladies, a big victory last weekend, and they defeated
Armagh.
Just had to think there for a moment. I'm watching Spain and Iran on the television here in the background. But they defeated Armagh in the final, 9-21 to 4-4. A massive scoreline, as Jimmy Stafford turns off the TV and the distraction as well. So a massive victory. And, believe it or not, Donegal have stopped their celebrations. They're back in preparation for the All-Ireland season. And earlier this evening, I spoke to their captain, Karen Guthrie. Well, Karen, what, 3 days on? I won't ask if it's sunk in, because I know it has, but has the festivities and the celebrations settled down?
They definitely have. We're back to training now tonight, so the focus is now firmly on the next couple of weeks and the next kind of the group stages now with Tipperary, and the losers of Cork and Kerry on Sunday. That's our next protocol now, and Sunday's a... not a distant memory, but it'll be well parked after tonight.
Well, before we look forward to where you go from here, looking back on the final on Sunday, convincing, I think, is a word that doesn't even describe that victory. At 9-21, you scored an amazing score.
It's huge, and even bigger than that again, to score 9-20 from play is absolutely massive. You know, it just shows the quality that we have in our forward line and right across the field. You know, defensively, we've been pretty solid all year, and I know, well, you might look we conceded four goals, but you still have to be able to, you know, you still have to be consistent and win your own kickouts and still get the ball up there and attacking late. We did that very well, so massive credit to everybody kind of across it.
So what's the big change? Because this time last year you played Armagh in a semi-final and you had to come from 9 points down at half time. If my memory serves right, you won by a couple in the semi-final.
You were probably a year older, and we've had a whole new approach to from a management perspective. We've introduced a lot of younger girls, which has given us a freshness and give us a wee bit more sharpness, you know, going forward. And all them wee things make a wild difference, you know. We've added the likes of all of McCafferty, Sergi and McDonald, Blandon, McLaughlin, players that it's just strengthened depth now, you know. And say we're all a year older, which helps too. And the coaching's been a massive addition, you know. Maxi's huge on learning and coaching, and that's something, I suppose it's been a few years maybe, you know, since we've been exposed to that type of coaching.
Yeah. And have you stepped up the level of training as well and the amount of training you're doing?
I suppose we would have, some of us would record our sessions, you know, and I think by April we had 33 or something more sessions done than this time last year, so we're obviously in a better, we're physically in a better place, and as a result you're mentally in a better place because you know you've the work done as well.
Back to Sunday again, back to back Ulster titles. It's not that long ago since Donegal won a first, now you've won three, you know, that seemed a long time coming, but you know, I think probably back to back titles was something that maybe we thought of by maybe Monaghan and others doing, but not Donegal.
I suppose it swings and roundabouts, isn't it? Monaghan dominated ladies football in Ulster for many a year, you know, they had 10 or odd titles, and we hadn't won any senior titles up until 2015, and it's just we're kind of on that kind of crest of a way where we're pushing on that wee bit every year. As I say, we added new management structures this year along with 4 or 5, 6, 7 probably new girls to that too as well, and that gave us the ability to retain the title. Maybe if we hadn't added that, we probably wouldn't have. Ulster's no easy push either, you know, you have three other teams there that on any given day could take point, could beat each other.
You might very well say this new players and new impetus, but then there's a hardcore of experienced players like yourself, Yvonne McMonagh or Boner, Geraldine McLaughlin, Aoife McDonald, you know, Ciara Hegarty, Niamh Hegarty, Eimear Gallagher, Nicole McLaughlin, you know, there's a hardcore there, Deirdre Foley, they've been about a while.
Yeah, there's a huge core of girls there that have been trying the best part of their lives to try and win a senior All-Ireland, you know, and we're very lucky, I suppose, we've that kind of quality in our team, and that they have committed their life to achieving that goal. You know, plenty of them could have walked away, and there are plenty of times there would have been offers on the table to go somewhere else and enjoy a summer away, and they chose to stay, and that's a huge, you know, addition. I think you've that strength and depth all over the field. You've Katie Heron in midfield, who adds as a massive, along with Mac, gives us serious mobility in the middle of the field, and you still have Yvonne in them at 30 odd that are still at the top. Probably at the top of their game now, you know, along with Niamh and Geraldine, and then the younger girls like Sarah Jane and them that just give us that wee bit of zip extra, you know.
You mentioned an All-Ireland title, and is that the ambition now? Is that the goal?
Obviously, I suppose, Tom, if you're being honest, you know, we dare to dream every year, but naturally now when you have the provincial title, your next major title is in All-Ireland. We won't be overthinking or passing the group stages. We've still Tipperary and more than likely Kerry to focus on, and we'll not genuinely, you'd be foolish to look past them, you know. Kerry have, they still have to play Cork now on Sunday in the Munster final, so that'll determine who's the third place in our group. But you'd be foolish to look past them. But obviously, you're gonna dream a wee bit, you know.
Yeah.
Four, that group stages works to a quarter final, so you have three teams in four groups, and the top two go to the quarter final. So we've played Tipperary and Challenge games, and listen, they're by no means a pushover, and that's no way assert that we would make the quarterfinals. You know, we'll have to be at the top of our game to beat Tipperary and Kerry, and then look at yourself in a nice position in the quarterfinals.
That's Karen Guthrie there, captain of Donegal Ladies, who had that big victory over Armagh to win back-to-back titles, 7-21 to 4-4. Massive scoreline, Charlie, wasn't it? Unreal.
Unbelievable scoreline, yeah. Just as we were just discussing there during it, it's a fantastic scoreline, and it's just they really can create goals and execute the goals in that team, you know. Yeah. So they're a fine team, you know.
Yeah.
We wish them all the best as they go forward.
Yeah, and of course Maxi Corn is in there this year, a man you're working with St. Junan's as well. Obviously, very much into the science of the game now.
Ah, yeah, Maxi's very heavy on getting into detail and analysing the opposition, and he'll certainly, from that point of view, there'll be no stone left unturned. And again, it's, you know, he's a very knowledgeable man, and it seems like the management team that they have there seems to be working well together and gelling well, and the team are responding to them. So that's a good sign. It's a very positive thing.
Yeah, because actually last year, and I remember we've been at it up in Greencastle, they played Armagh in the semi-final, and I'm not sure if they might have scored a point in the first half, but that was about it. Armagh scored, they were 9 points up at half-time, and Donegal came back and won by two. And like, that's a complete turnaround, you know. And the personnel on either side, I was just looking at it, haven't changed. So, obviously, Donegal have gone to a new level, and I know from talking to the group of players that they genuinely have ambitions of trying to win in All-Ireland, you know.
Yeah, they seem just listening there. They seem very focused, and they seem to have the message that the management team were giving to them. They're buying into it, you know, hook, line and sinker. And when you have a group of players that take on board the game plan and start to believe and have that desire, you know, there's no end to where they can get to. And that scoreline, as long as now they make sure they don't sort of get carried away because of that, that's the other factor. Then this complacency word that can kick in sometimes. So if they can keep themselves focused with that management team that they have, they should be able to.
A lot of experience there.
And the players themselves seem to say they're looking down the road too as well, and they're looking for bigger things. And
yeah, of course, Maxi Corn, Damien Devinney and Johnny McGinley of Glenswilly, all part of that management team, and certainly they're putting in a lot of good work. Anyway, on to the bigger one now on Sunday. Charlie, tell me, what do you make of Donegal this year?
I think Declan and his management team now, they have changed it all around the way that Donegal had been playing football for the past couple of years, you know. And you have to be careful, I suppose, speaking here, because you're talking about the previous managers now. Is the manager who Declan and his management team and the team are going to be coming up against. So they decided to go, for want of a better word, away from so much defensive work, and they've changed the focus. It's more into, they're more attack orientated, and they've brought in players, and they've encouraged players, and they've given players the mandate to attack and get that ball forward much quicker than had been previously. And Michael Murphy and Paddy McBurdy seem to have, you know, they've picked up their game too, and they're very involved in all that's good with what's going on in the Donegal game. And I think the fact that Paddy McBurdy's actually shown strong for ball inside, which he might have been, you know, if he wanted to be sort of picky on Paddy, that he wasn't one of his strengths, but he has developed that so much more this year, and he's a great outlet now from guys out the field for to put that ball in and get it into the danger zone much quicker, and I think that's they're setting up platforms inside more so than what they used to do, and then they're building. You know, when they get the ball into the danger zone, then you have lads running off shoulders, and you know, they've created a lot of goal opportunities and scored quite a lot of goals. And I think that's because of that change in focus.
Do you get the impression the players are enjoying this form of football more?
As you were saying earlier, Tommy, it seems they're playing with a smile on their face. And I think, as a former player, again, you know, sometimes just that far long ago, you can't really remember what. No, if you're in the game and you're getting on the ball and things are moving, you know, it sort of grows on you, and you grow with the game, and as the game grows, you grow, and everybody, you know, it's like a rash or something running through the team. It sort of just grows and grows, and eventually you're in the flow, and the game's flowing, and you're flowing with it, and the opposition don't really seem to, they can't get to grips with it, so you just take over and.
Did you expect it to happen so soon in Declan's reign? Because as we know, we've shed an awful lot of players in the last few years. Eamon McGee, Christy Toy, Colin McFadden, you know, Carol Lacey, all those players have, all great players, Neil Gallagher, you know, all have stepped away, you know, and, you know, an awful lot of experience and, you know, a lot of young players coming into the squad.
Yeah, you know, there's a few ways of looking at that, Tom. If you look at the teams that are at the top of the game every year, I mean, I suppose you take Dublin and you take Kerry, Mayo for this last number of years have been there. And why, you know, what is the difference? Why are they there? And I think it's the fact that just they have, I mean, I think when Jim McGuinness started off with this situation, he he achieved a fitness level that I don't think had been achieved before with a Donegal team. And that's the first thing. And I think that's carried through. All the managers that have been since Jim McGuinness have maintained that level of fitness and maybe increasing. And they've bought into the science that goes along with ensuring that fitness levels and strength and conditions and strength and conditioning, and as well as that looking after the head. That's all part of all these teams. And Donegal have did the exact same thing. And they've been filtering in new players over the last number of years. So with the result, if you're changing three players in a year and then the following year then another three players, you're not missing the six. So if you can introduce two or three players each year into a team that's evolving, that should stop any kind of a big blip or an upset or something.
Well, those other players weren't going to go on forever anyway. So they weren't those guys that were all stars in 2014, 2012. They're not going to go on forever anyway.
No, you have to. I mean, it's just as inevitable that they're going to evolve and lads are going to run out of time, and you have to be. I mean, it's like the old thing. You have to be the pipe. It's running out at the other end of the pipe, so you have to keep feeding the pipe at the other end of that too. So,
Obviously, Jimmy Brennan is one player that seems to have come in and improved a lot. And I was watching him at a recent press conference. He's really bulked up as well because he was a slight player. So obviously, the strength and conditioning you're talking about, they're doing a lot of that.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of that. But one of the big pluses, I think, as well, is the fact that Declan has had these guys at minor level. He's had them at under 21 level. So he's been with them in their development. So he's been monitored, and he's able to see how they're developing and therefore what's needed. Because he knows them for maybe 6 years, he knows what we think's the tweak to sort of that's going to improve this player, because he's seen him develop from a young age. So that's obviously a big help. And I think he's obviously been doing that very well, because the lads that are sometimes what happens with the overbulk, and then you see a lack of pace or a lack of flexibility. But he seems to be, they're getting it right. And the lads that need bulking up are bulking up, and the lads that don't need to get bulked up we talked about Michael Murphy sometimes, or Michael's always the man that's talked about quite a bit. He's a big focus for Donegal football. But we were saying, was he too heavy there for a couple of years? How he went over the top with the weights. But, he seems to be on the button at the moment now. He's got the right physique and he's got the right, speed.
He's a serious asset to any team, isn't he?
Ah, he's a huge man, and the skills levels that he has, and unfortunately we don't see it. Not unfortunately, we don't see it. We see it enough in St Unions when we're playing Glens. Well, we see it too much sometimes. But no, but I mean, the box of skills that he has. He's just, for such a big man, he's so skillful a player like he is. That guy could play any sport. He just can. I mean, you've seen that soccer touch that he did the last day out of the thing.
And obviously, when he stands over a free, you're writing it down before he takes it. He's uncanny with his frees.
I am. And them things, he's Mr. Consistency. And even his levels of performance are Mr. Consistent. And we're very lucky that we have a leader. Like Michael, he's the captain of the team, but he also, and he's probably our best player too, but the fact that he actually works harder than anybody else in the field, he's a great leadership. So, I mean, guys are going to follow that example, and it's a great example to follow. So it's a huge positive for Donegal.
Yeah. That's the voice of Charlie Mulgrew. He's my special guest in studio tonight. Of course, we're looking ahead to Sunday's Ulster final meeting of Donegal and Fermanagh in St. Shinnock's Park and Clonus. And, we're here until 9:30 tonight. We've got an extra half hour. Thanks to Pio McCann for giving us some time from his country music show for our extra programme tonight. Still to come, of course, we're going to be talking to Dom Corrigan, former Fermanagh player and, of course, a former manager. I think he followed Charlie as manager in the Erin County when he was that. We'll talk about that after 9:00. We're also hoping to be joined by PJ McGowan, another former Donegal player, former chairman, manager, who actually also happened to manage Fermanagh way back in the 90s. And, as I said, we'd love to hear from you as well. If you have any questions or any comments for Charlie or any questions for any of the boys, 086 60 25,000 is the number. And if you're texting us from the north of Ireland or outside the dialing code, it's 086 60 25,000. And just to remind you again, of course, you can listen back to this program on www.highlandradio.com and also on the Highland Radio app. Declan, as you quite rightly said, and he has to be commended, really has worked hard, from underage. It's a huge commitment.
Oh, it's a huge commitment, yeah. Just listen to that bit there. You're talking about the last time he was in an Ulster final. I think it was back in 97 or 98. I was part of his management team at that time, you know. So we lost to Derry. The famous push or the famous shot by, I think it was Jeffrey from Dungiven, and Joe Brawley got the goal, and I think that was the first day he started doing the kisses to the stand. Yeah, that Ulster final.
Yeah, what's your memory of that day?
It was fantastic build up, and when I look back at it, we weren't too caught up in the hype or anything to get there. We just looked upon it as another game, and we were well prepared, and we had control of the game for a long time, and I think probably what happened to us at the end up was that we were leading by a point or two, and instead of going on and kicking on a couple of more points, we left it sort of to the bitter end, and then Derry got the goal that sort of just at the end of the game that won the match, you know, and kind of stole it from us. But
Jeffrey McGonigal had that Seamus Barry moment, I think.
Jeffrey McGonigal, I can't remember, was it Barry or John Joe, but there was
Noel McGinley, maybe, I think, was it?
We felt there was a bit of a push. It could have been given. It's one of them things that we felt, if you were a Derry man, you'd have been saying it was no foul, and you're Donegal man, you're saying it was a foul, so we didn't get the foul anyway.
Sorry about that technical problem, but I think we have found Declan Bonner, so we'll just go back, as I said, Declan Hilly's conference yesterday, ahead of the final.
The first thing we've learned is that you're planning without probably one of your more experienced players. You're a seven-time Ulster final player, Neil McGee.
Yeah, big loss, Tom. You know, to me, I think on the day, I thought it was harsh. I thought, it probably was a second yellow. But to be given a straight red, to miss the Ulster finals, big blow, no doubt about it. Big blow to us, big blow to Neil, and to miss being the biggest occasion in Ulster football.
He had an appeal last Thursday night.
Yeah, and it was, he's going to have the service one match suspension. So from that, we just got ready, looking forward to replacement, and getting that ready, and working on that over the last week and a half. So listen, whoever comes in will do a job. It'll be it's a big role, it's an important role, as is all the roles in the team.
And I suppose it's a big position every game, but certainly given the opposition you're playing on Sunday, given that the Quigleys are going to be in there, and they're big men and potentially dangerous forwards.
Yeah, listen, to top class forwards, and you have Conal Jones in there too, so you have three big lads that probably two out of three will start. But listen, we've got a plan, and we've been planning for it. I was just chatting earlier on inside there. I mean, this is where every young player growing up wants to be, Ulster final, and an Ulster final representing their county, Ulster final, and that's a real good place to be. But it's even better when you go on to win it. And so we have a big 70 plus minutes ahead of us to get our performance to get to that level to win that Ulster title.
Given that Neil is missing, are you expecting a nearly aerial bombardment from Anna?
Yeah, possibly. So you've got to be ready for all scenarios, and that's possibly one of them. But we've been working away on our game plan and getting our end of it right. So we always look at the opposition naturally enough and see where they're going to bring their strengths and where we can get at them. So it's no different. Fermanagh's no different. We're working on that, and at the same time, what's in our control is our performance levels and the way we were going to play it, and that's more important to us.
Tell me, on the injury front, have you any other concerns?
No, not really. The two guys that have been missing, Marty Riley and Martin McElhinney, are on their way back, but won't be involved on Sunday, but the rest are all available.
Yeah. Looking at the campaign, it's been a breeze so far, really. You know, very easy. You've had three games played, three big wins.
Yeah, the lads have gone about their business in a professional manner, and that's what we expect from them. Kevin, Derry and Down, we're put in front of us, and we can only play what's put in front of us, and the levels of performance were satisfactory in most of those occasions. We still need to get it to a different level, and we've been working on that, and the lads have really worked hard at training. You can see there's a real intent there now, and there's real lads wanting to be in that first 15, wanting to be in that match day squad, and that's what you want. That's what you want from a squad. There's no point lads in the squad just sitting there for the sake of it, but these guys are pushing everyone on, and that's where you want to be.
Getting great reviews from your forward play, from your general play, you know, bringing a bit of length back into the game, but maybe a little concern, maybe they'll be conceded quite a lot in all your games.
Yeah, listen, we've conceded, and that's part comes with the territory in terms of when you do play that attacking game. Yeah, we've been working on it. There's no doubt that we have to tighten up, and it's about getting the balance right, as I said before, to get that balance between attack and defence right. And yeah, that's an area that we have worked on, and we have to improve there, but we've also got to improve improve on other areas too, and we'll continue to work and try and improve the team.
For many of your opponents, surprise finalists?
Yeah, as I said, you know, Monaghan coming out of Healy Park 4 weeks ago were hotly fancied, not just to beat Fermanagh in the semi-final, but hotly fancied to win Ulster, and Fermanagh went out and done the job on the day, and deservedly so, won their semi-final, and they're now in an Ulster final, so it's a big test in terms of us, in terms of what we know what Fermanagh are going to bring. They're going to be well organised, they're going to be well set up. Defensively, they're probably the best record in the province, maybe even in the country, and it's going to be difficult, so it's going to be an interesting 70 plus minutes on Sunday.
They pose different challenge than either Derry, Down or Cavan.
Yeah.
Their defensive setup.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, listen, we've got to be ready for that, and we've got to be adaptable. That's, I mean, part and parcel of any good team. You've got to be adaptable, and you've got to change things at different times. So, yeah, we're looking at it, but we're also looking forward to the challenge. I think it's, as I said before, it's a great place to be, and these guys are really, really looking forward to the challenge and performing again at Ulster final level.
Yeah. And tell me, watching from Anna and Monaghan, did you learn anything from Anna? Maybe what they maybe should have done different, or you know, what did you make of Fermanagh that day?
I thought, I have to say, I was very impressed. Very impressed by Fermanagh. They started the game well. They got a couple of scores on the board, and they went in at half time 6-4 up. Monaghan found it very, very difficult to break them down. And even though Monaghan got a spell at the start of the second half and got ahead eventually, going into the last 10 minutes, Fermanagh hung in there and deservedly got their goal. I mean, Donnelly got the goal, and no one would have. You just can't write them off. Simple as that. There.
Tell me, Rory Gallagher obviously has been involved in Donegal football, both at club and county for the best part of, you know, the last decade or so. Knows the squad intimately, you know, from having been involved with both Jim McGuinness managing himself and involved with the under-21s as well. How big a factor is that?
Listen, Rory will set Fermanagh out. He knows Donegal. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I've said all along that we just look after our end of it, our game plan, and we go out and we lift our performance and we get our game plan nailed on, then we're in with a huge chance of lifting this dangle set. But everything has to be spot on, and as I say, there's plenty of room for improvement, both offensively and defensively, and we get those aspects and those areas right, then as I say, we are in with a chance.
As I say, you're going into the game very much as the favourites, you know. Maybe a little concerned, or I'm not sure, the fact that you have been untested.
Listen, we've gone into as favourites for Cavan, for Derry, for the Down matches, and that doesn't even come up within the group. We just get ourselves ready. We treated all those games as an Ulster final, prepared as it was an Ulster final, because the day that you don't put in that preparation is the day you come up short. We're now in an Ulster final, and we're going to treat this the same way we treated every other game. We're 70 odd plus minutes from lifting that Anglo cell, and we know we need to perform, because Ulster medals are not handed out easily. We know that, and we've got to be right.
And for you personally, an opportunity to finally maybe lay the ghost of 20 years ago?
Listen, it's not about me, it's about the group, in terms of, you know, where you can see the work and the effort that goes in within the group, from players, from management, and it'll be great for that whole group to be fit to lift that title Sunday evening.